Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable of the rich ruler in Luke 18 tells us of a man who asked Jesus a seemingly simple question. Teacher, what must I do to be saved? Jesus replied, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." The ruler replied, "All these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus answered, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Well, it doesn't look like his righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, but I'm still looking pretty good. We think back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had been given one commandment: do not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. How much simpler could life be? But the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field, Scripture tells us. He showed Eve the fruit of the tree, and he said, "Did God really say?" And we know the end to that story. You know, I'm still looking pretty good, maybe even better. Then there's the woman caught in the act of adultery. The scribes and the Pharisees brought her to Jesus and asked him what should they do. They said, "Moses tells us that such a person should be stoned." Jesus was silent and simply bent down and wrote on the ground. They continued to pester him. So Jesus said, "Let him among you who is without sin cast the first stone." And then he bent down and continued to write on the ground. And Scripture says, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. Now, Scripture in no way, shape, or form gives us any indication as to what it was that Jesus was writing. His spoken words were simple and to the point. So what he wrote on the ground must have been pretty strong if it made the scribes and the Pharisees go away. My tendencies are to perhaps agree with a Christian comedian of a fundamentalist persuasion who once speculated, and I must remind you that it was speculation, that what Jesus was writing on the ground was the names of the mistresses of the scribes and the Pharisees. So the text before us today says that our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees if we expect to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, that shouldn't be too hard, should it? We're certainly better off than that rich ruler, and we've learned so much since Adam and Eve made their mistake. And these scribes and Pharisees were very good at keeping the letter of the law, well, at least to the point that they didn't get caught. But they were adamant publicly of how well they kept the law. Our text also says, "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Well, the rich ruler had his pet sin of idol worship. He placed his wealth before God. Adam and Eve also violated the first commandment when, in response to the serpent's hey, you can be like God, they responded with a resounding, cool. And the scribes and the Pharisees, while outwardly squeaky clean, had their own little pet sins that they tried to hide. We're no different. Sure, some of us gave up rather lucrative careers to come to the seminary, to follow the Lord's call to be one of His servants. Some of us have advanced degrees in theology or maybe in some other area. Some of us have suffered mightily for the sake of the gospel. Certainly, this must count for something, shouldn't it? We too have our own little pets that we like to hang on to. And we really need to go no further than the first commandment to see that. How often have we placed things between ourselves and our God? How often have we borne false witness through gossip or unfounded rumors against our neighbor? It's no wonder that Isaiah the prophet wrote, all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. And our righteousness is supposed to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. But here, my friends, is the good news. The second half of Matthew 5, verse 19 says, but whoever does them, that is the commandments, whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now we've seen that no human is capable of keeping the commandments or teaching others to do so. So this must be a reference to something or someone else. Jesus said in the first verse of the lesson in regards to the law and the prophets, I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Thanks be to God. Knowing that we are poor, miserable sinners, and knowing we could do nothing but dig the hole deeper on our own, Jesus came to do it all for us. When from the cross Jesus declared, it is finished, He meant that His fulfilling of the law for us was complete, and that there was nothing that we could do, and that there was nothing that we had to do. When we were baptized into Christ, we put on that righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. There at the font, the old Adam in us was drowned, along with all sins and evil desires. There at the font, the new man arises daily to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. There, the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees cries out, proclaims with the hymn writer, Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God, my Lord, unites with me. The Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel. That proclaimed word delivered to us from the pulpit, at our bedside, into our ears as we kneel in confession. That is the glorious news of Christ's fulfilling of the law, His death, resurrection, and ascension for us. That is the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And that fulfilling of the law, that righteousness, touches our lips and thus our lives as our Lord gives us his body and blood in his holy meal. Tomorrow, that body that was broken by the law, that blood that was shed to cover the law, will restore to us that life that was taken away by sin. One contemporary hymn writer gave us this proclamation: "The body of God's Lamb we eat, a priestly food and priestly meat. On sin-parched lips the chalice pours, his quenching blood that life restores." Here is your righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.